This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. It is presented by Brandon Legal Group, longtime supporters of Remnants, as well as the Todd Wright family of podcasts. If you are in the greater Tampa Bay area, you need not live and work in Brandon. If you are in the greater Tampa Bay area and you are in need of legal assistance, you may call Brandon Legal Group anytime for a free consult. You need not ask what type of law they specialize in. They are a full-service law firm. 844-4-BLG-4ME. 844-4-BLG-4ME. Or visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. The Todd Wright Toddcast, also presented by Papa John's of Tampa Bay. They have been feeding Todd Wright Tour players either through catering and or prizes like a pizza prize pack. It's one of my better prizes I give out at any tournament. We've been giving them away for a majority of the 26 tournaments I've already hosted, let alone we will have some of this for Todd Wright Tour 27 coming up on October 3rd at West Chase Golf Club. It is an online unique code, and it allows you to put five different large pizzas in an order, specialty pizzas, or build your own. They don't all five have to be the same. They can be five different ones. And then there's 3 2-liter bottles of soda as well. And you put that code in, and that code covers all of that. It's a terrific prize. Their Shaq-a-Roni pizza is doing incredibly well. And also at $1 per order, has raised over $2 million for charity. The Shaq-a-Roni pizza has the largest slices in Papa John's history, as well as double the cheese, double the pepperoni, and eliminates the crust that so many people, I guess, including Shaq, leave in the box and throw out because the cheese goes all the way to the very edge of the pie. Papa John's of Tampa Bay. Specific to Mike Lentz, he is the GM of the West Water store, Denny Gray, general manager of the West Kennedy store, just two of the many locations in the Papa John's of Tampa Bay family. Those two men, those two stores, specifically very good to me. And listeners of the Todd Wright Toddcast, the email is wright.todd@yahoo.com, social media at ToddWright2020, Instagram at ToddWright2020, Twitter, Facebook. It's my personal page. I get everything on there. Podcasts, golf tournaments, webcast, everything. Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida, if you'd like to send me a friend request. And you promise never to ask me to like additional pages. The minute you do that, I unfollow. You do it again, I'm gone. That's the way it works for me. I have never done a guest on the Todd Wright Toddcast. That may change in the coming weeks or months. So much of what I did on my national radio show for years was based on talking one-on-one to various type of guests, and many of you enjoyed that. I enjoyed doing it. I haven't done it in this format, mainly because this podcast is as long as I want it to be. Some of you would say, it's already too long. I know, I'm working on it. But part of why I did guests all those years on national radio was, remember the length of time that I had to fill. It wasn't my choice to do 4 hour, 5 hour. Was five the max I ever did alone? I think. 4 or 5 hour radio shows. I'm not going to do those just talking to you one-on-one. I'm going to have some other people to actually talk to because I never had a co-host. Many of you loved Louise. Louise wasn't a co-host. She was a contributor. She was the executive producer. It wasn't her job to be on the show. It was great when she was, but she had other things to do. Same with Jay Reynolds, same with One Name, later Vince Cates at Sporting News Radio with Robert DeBucky as one example. They had other things they had to do. My job was to actually be on the air and provide content. So when I'm doing a podcast of anywhere from 10 to 25 minutes, it doesn't necessitate a guest. But at some point, I might do it. I've had one long-time connection that has kind of suggested it, and I think that would be fun, so it might be happening. But let me bring up Brett McMurphy. Brett has worked for so many different entities, online, nationally, television, done radio, written online, written for newspapers, covering college football and college basketball. In recent years, it's just been college football for Brett. He is currently with an entity called Stadium, and you can find him on Twitter, and it's an excellent Twitter account to follow with hundreds of thousands of followers. And Brett, to fill a little bit of the time void recently, has taken up playing golf again. So I've been spending a little more time with Brett on the golf course. He played in the recent Todd Wright Tour Championship. I paired him with Drew Garabo from 102.5 The Bone, and Todd R. and Todd R.'s son for a fun foursome. But Brett and I were talking. He's been very busy with covering college football because, as I told you in a Todd Wright Toddcast at the beginning of the pandemic, the real chaos for one sport was going to be college football because there is not one voice for college football. Unlike the decision to cancel the NCAA Division I Men's Basketball Championship, which came out of a central location, college football is run by different conferences. And that is why over my lifetime, we've had all these different variations of how to put teams in a bowl game that'll give us the look of a champion, or now the college football playoff, which Bill Hancock went from the BCS to the college football playoff. There still is not one voice here. Now, there is for the college football playoff, but they can only use what they have available to them. So I even recorded and watched college football live on, I think it was ESPN2 yesterday when I wasn't watching hockey, and I watched four guys just go at it. And you can see Joey Galloway, I don't think wants anything to do with this conversation right now. David Pollack is terrific. Greg McElroy has been fantastic ever since he first started on SEC Network. And I apologize, I didn't know who the host was, but he did a good job as a traffic cop, kind of keeping the conversation moving. But college football is as chaotic and potentially even more chaotic than I expected. You had the Pac-12 announce, we're not playing. And I picked Brett McMurphy's brain on this just to make sure I had some things right, and Brett told me some additional things that I wasn't aware of. Brett told me the Pac-12 was very transparent about what they did. They may be getting pushback, but that was a final decision that was reached based on a lot of research, a lot of input, and some simple factors like California schools can't play. So it would be hard to make the argument, as much as the Pac-12 has diminished in real college football significance on the major, on a national championship level. Sorry, I'm getting rid of some pop-ups. You know what that's like. How can they go forward if UCLA, USC, Stanford, and Cal can't play? Can, even if the other eight can, are you going to do that if you're the Pac-12? Probably not. So it feels like the Pac-12's decision was legitimate and based on factors that ultimately led them to make the decision and at the time they made it. The Big Ten went with them, whether they meant to or not, whether it was a coincidence or not. And that's where there's a lot of buzz right now, because there apparently was no vote. And the new commissioner of the Big Ten didn't really have enough of a pulse of the entire membership to make a final decision which is why this decision is being questioned by a number of people. People invested in this, and then just people who are college football fans. Brett even told me there's supposedly a march on the Big Ten offices in Chicago this Friday by angry fans and parents of University of Iowa and Ohio State University football players. Sort of saying, why did you arrive at this decision and why did you do it so quickly? Because it's pretty obvious that the commissioner of the Big Ten didn't have the same urgency and didn't have the same information that the Pac-12 did with its membership and its geography. And then you have the SEC, the Big 12, and Brett told me about Nebraska, because the minute this was all going down, I even texted Brett. I said, I'd love to see Nebraska go back and play in the Big 12 this year. Now, I don't know if that was ever discussed, but I guess Nebraska was looking at going to play one of the directional schools down in South, or have a home game as a non-conference home game against either a Florida International or a Florida Atlantic or something like that. And the Big Ten office said, if you play any game against our decision, you won't get your cut of the check that we send to all the member schools, which was $54 million. So that's why Nebraska has fallen back in line. Money talks. Thank you, Brett, for that. Then I just talked to Brett all along, because the SEC to me is like the NFL, that it's going to take real hard evidence and maybe a bad situation for them to back off playing. And as long as the SEC is pushing forward, the ACC, the Big 12, and then three smaller non-Power 5 conferences, the American, Conference USA, and the Sun Belt, are falling in line as well. So the SEC remains, whether you like this or not, they're running college football. If the SEC plays, barring something drastic in those other five conferences, they are going to play as well. Whether they can play all scheduled games on the date scheduled or not. Or they'll have to figure out cancellations or reschedule games on the fly, kind of like Major League Baseball is doing. And I think what is going on in Major League Baseball is very important for both college football and for the NFL, because as Brett told me, college football just can't bubble. There's no way to do it. The NFL clearly doesn't want to do it, at least to start the season. They could later if they wanted to, and this will be a separate podcast, but I think if the NFL decides to do it before they get to the playoffs, they would go to division bubbles, where basically, you know, say the NFC South, you'd put Tampa Bay, Atlanta, Carolina, and New Orleans all in one place and just let them play each other and get a division winner. And then that division winner advances to the next bubble, say a bigger bubble of eight, where you'd have to be a division winner to make the playoffs, although that would cut down significantly on the playoff TV contracts, etc. But that's the NFL. We'll do that in a separate podcast. But baseball is sort of the model. And you say, well, that's been a disaster. Well, it hasn't been perfect, but it hasn't been awful. I mean, yeah, the Marlins, the Phillies, and the Cardinals have missed some games. Very few American League teams have missed any games, and they've only missed games because of a connection to one of those other three. I know the Reds had a couple of positive tests, I guess, within the last 72 hours. So it hasn't shut down the entire league. And they've been at it for, what is it, almost a month now. Baseball's been at it. So it looks like they're going to get there. Wherever that is, maybe not with all teams playing 60 games and maybe with a bunch of day-night seven-inning doubleheaders, but they're figuring it out as they're going along and they're actually playing games. I think that's what the SEC wants to do. And as long as the SEC wants to do it, the ACC is on board, unless they find evidence or have issues and can very transparently say, yeah, we can't do this. But the SEC is showing the way for the Big 12, the ACC. The ACC, you know they want to play because they have Clemson and they've added Notre Dame this year. You have the potential of an ACC championship game between Clemson and Notre Dame. Notre Dame can win the Atlantic Coast Conference championship. I don't know if Clemson and Notre Dame play in the regular season or not. I haven't looked at the schedule. And then those three group of five schools, the Sun Belt, Conference USA, and the American, they seem to be following the SEC's lead as well. Now, if the SEC gets to a point, and I think they've been pretty clear about this, where they feel they can't play on a particular day, or they can't play for a particular week, or they got to shut it down entirely, they said they'll do it, but they're not there yet, which further has people invested in the Big Ten, not so much the Pac-12 because of their transparency, saying to the Big Ten commissioner, why'd you do this? Who was involved? And what's with the timing of it? Because every day that goes by that the SEC, the ACC, the Big 12, and to a lesser extent, those other three group of fives follow the SEC's lead, it makes the Big Ten look bad. And if those six leagues I just talked about make it to opening day, play a majority of their games, do not have huge issues, it will continue to make the Big Ten look bad. Pac-12, maybe, but for other reasons. The Pac-12 was open about why they had to do this. It doesn't appear that the Big Ten had to do it, especially when they did, and that they didn't have all the schools on board for various reasons. It's interesting. I'm sure it's something I'll talk about again. But you've always, more than any other sport, even when nothing bad, well, there's always something bad going on in the world, unfortunately. But college football, it's a very unique animal, and it is proving to be extremely unique this year. And that's because there's no one person running the sport, other than different from all the other major sports. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group. Call anytime for a free consult if you're in the greater Tampa Bay area. They are a full-service law firm, 844-4BLG4ME, 844-4BLG4ME, or visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. Thanks to Brett McMurphy for allowing me to pick his brain. And we didn't even do it on the golf course. We actually did it via phone. Because, well, it's raining here today. Brett and I live in the same city. Thanks also to Papa John's of Tampa Bay. Remember, the Shaq-a-Roni pizza is a very unique item in the Papa John's history, and a dollar from every Shaq-a-Roni order goes to charity. Thanks for listening to the Todd Wright Toddcast. Tell your friends, subscribe to the Todd Wright Toddcast, and we'll talk to you next time.